Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Ashwini.
Hey, Chris. Good afternoon.
Hi. Good afternoon for me, indeed. All right, shall we launch in with today's assignment? Actually, yesterday's assignment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Happiness often sneaks in through a door you didn't know you left open. It's true, isn't it, that we're often surprised by happiness. We're told what will make us happy and what we need to do to get that happiness, and still, the promised happiness often eludes us. Other times we find ourselves inexplicably happy for no reason whatsoever. Is it true that there's no reason for that happiness that seems to just sneak in? Watch closely and see if there is a reason, and if that reason is presence. We're happy when we're here. RL, the experience of the happiness of presence. Today, leave a few doors open for happiness. Leave them open intentionally.
What fun.
It is fun, isn't it? All right, well, let's check in with our first caller here. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Brad in Maryland.
Hey, Brad.
I totally didn't expect to get on. What a shock. Okay. Hold on one moment. All right. So I remember hearing Jennifer many times before at retreats mentioning that the happiness is actually from being present to the moment rather than the content of it. But it hasn't been really until the past year in my practice that I have noticed that to be so.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So,
yeah. So
very interesting
that,
to see.
Yes, isn't it? That you mentioned two things that are really interesting, right, Brad? That one is a process of practice where we hear something, and it may not be our experience. But from a Zen perspective, that's the clue to go what? How is that true? How does that work? How is that someone else's experience? And that place of inquiry allows us to recognize it when it becomes our own experience. It's a very interesting practice. And then, yes, to have the experience that the happiness is a state of being that is independent of the content. It's a big bamboozle to catch onto.
Oh, ego hates it. Because what's uh-huh. really fascinating to me is, you know, it brings about that I'll be happy when this happens bamboozle that ego brings about. And if you can look at it from not the content, but it, again, going back to how do you, what state of presence you're in terms of how you perceive the current situation, how do you want to be, that's actually what you're going for. And it seems so counterintuitive to what modern society preaches in terms of what we need, what needs to be in a certain way, that we can just be okay with this present moment.
Yes, it is very contrary to our experience. Because as the quote said, there are places when we're happy where we don't know the reason for the happiness. And we never examine it. And you're absolutely right that we're conditioned to believe that it's the externals that make us happy. And we're never allowed to examine that because if we did, we would see the lie in that. Because if X, then Y, which is the conditional bamboozle, doesn't act, is not true, it's not true.
Yeah, what would the advertising companies do if we knew that?
Oh, my gosh. They would be out of business. So would ego, right?
Yeah.
So would ego. Yeah. Yeah, it's a very powerful experience to get that, to get that presence is when we're happy. And interestingly, that happiness is not a standard of feeling, right? Because when we're present, we experience all kinds of things.
Yes.
Which is not rather, the ego bill of happiness.
Right. I look at it from a matter of, it's not that I necessarily want to be happy. I want to be here to whatever life provides in this moment.
Yes.
So rather than looking at it from a superficial level of happiness, I just want to be at peace to experience whatever is now.
Yes. Oh, Brad, that's just so important, right? Because, you know, we talk about suffering a lot, and suffering, the way the Buddha described it, is that experience of not wanting what is, right? When he never defined the opposite, but if you look at the what the opposite of suffering is it's not suffering, it's not happiness, it's contentment, satisfaction, fulfillment, which is that sense of peace that you're describing, of just being present and not in opposition to what is. And that really is going back to that Gandhi quote, right? Happiness is when what you do, what you think, and what you say are in alignment. Alignment is what we want to experience, being with.
Yes. I've just had the experience lately with kind of getting off from the commitments where I'm not in alignment, and I can see ego wanting to come in and saying, you'll be happy when this next thing happens. I can see that process and realize, just get myself back in alignment, and we'll go from there. So, you know.
Yes, yes, exactly. Get myself back in alignment, and we'll go from there. In this moment, can I be present? Not indulge a conversation about what it is that I need to do in order to be happy. Misses the point about alignment totally, right?
Yes, or calibrate, as you say.
Yes, calibrate. And it's such a wonderful example of the bamboozle that you were just talking about, right? So if it can get you attending to that conversation that if you do XYZ, you will be happy, then you don't focus on getting to the moment in which alignment exists. That movement to the present is alignment.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much for taking my call.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Brad. And it sure seems like that alignment is the open door, Ashwini.
Oh, yes, the movement to presence.
Yep, that's
the
really
doors
it.
And, to get here,
And that's a full-time job, keeping that door open.
And a happy one.
And a happy job at that, yeah, for sure. Okay, let's see. Let's move to our next caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Beth from Kentucky.
Hi, Beth.
Hey, Beth.
This is my second time calling in. I called in shortly after Project Joy began and just shared that I had been a long-time practitioner as far as my sitting practice and listening to open air, and I participated kind of on the outskirts of things. And I decided that it just came to me that I need to step it up. So I joined an email class or a group coaching. I signed up for Project Joy, and I got a Zen coach. And, what a difference that made. And since then, since I called in last time, I have started with the virtual meditation. And but the biggest thing that has helped me is the recording and listening. I had done recording and listening for years, but mainly affirmations or recording things that really spoke to me in some way. But I'd never done much of the right left-handed. And because that is one of the things you ask us to do in Project Joy, I started that probably about 2 months ago, every single day. And it has just made the hugest difference. It has taken me further in a short time than any other practice tool that I've used. So I'm so thankful that I had the willingness to do these things and to keep stepping up my game a little bit, and it's been really a wonderful experience.
Yes, it is opening all those doors, right? That there is the awareness that this is of great assistance and a willingness to surround yourself with that, to be open to the intuition of life that says, okay, Beth, here's the next thing you get to do, and here's the next thing, and then to do it. Wow.
Right, right. Yeah. And when I hear my recordings, especially the ones in the right hand, when I'm vulnerable or I'm struggling, and I hear my voice, I feel such compassion for that person because I can see their, I can see the struggle, I can feel the pain, and it really makes it clear, not that I'm wrong, but that, you know, that I'm not centered. It's very clear that that voice is not coming from center. So that's been quite helpful. And one other thing that I just kind of did by accident is there are some days or places where you're not going to have your recorder right there. Say, for instance, when I take a walk, and I try to just be with nature when I walk, but yet the voices will come in. I'll start, blah, blah, you know. And one day, just by accident, my left hand just reached over and patted my right and said, it was just, it came to me, no, not now, we're walking right now. And that has been so nice. I'll be sitting at dinner, I'll be doing something where it's just not appropriate to get out your recorder, and I can just take my left hand and tap the right side of my body and say, no, no, right now we're doing this, let's be here. And that has just been a, you know, to have that technique of that there is always someone with me to comfort me, to help me come back to where I need to be, which is right here. So just this whole thing, just taking the initiative, just stepping out and being willing to do these things that scare me, and they're just opening, they're just taking me higher up the mountain. So thank you so much for your all's willingness to give us these tools. So,
thank you, Beth. You know, I have such a big smile on my face. I could barely sit down as I hear you talking because it's the willingness to practice something, and that's what the two-handed recording is, right? The ability to be present to whatever is going on for this human being, to just be with that, to be able to be with that sufficiently to articulate it in the right hand, and then be willing to put it into the left hand and listen and move to the place of compassion and offer that compassion to someone else. It's just, we talk about it as making that movement towards compassion. And in making that movement, it sounds like what you've recognized is that movement to compassion is always possible, and it shows up while you're going for a walk, right? I don't have a recorder, but I can make that process shift from suffering to compassion by a gesture, right? Here, and to live in that conversation of support and encouragement and somebody on our side all the time, it really is truly a blessing, as you said, a miracle, and such a different way of being than living in a conversation that's self-hating.
Right, and I find, too, that I don't have this need to talk to other people about things. I can just figure it. You know, I have someone here who can help me figure it out, and, boy, that has just saved a lot of suffering. Like you said, creating more karma or bringing other people into it. There are very few times that I have not been able, or I can save it for my Zen coach who's just been. So I just urge those of you listening who are still on the periphery to step in and do those things, because I've come further in the last 3 or 4 months than I have in the last 8 or 9 years. So it's just been really great. So thank you so very much. It's greatly appreciated.
Thank you, Beth. And
okay,
thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
You
okay,
take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bev. Boy, Shwini, that seems like a perfect example of happiness sneaking in through an open door.
Yes, our job is to keep the door open.
Exactly. Yeah, so there's no recorder, and life just drops in what to do next, and, you know, there it is. There's that open door, and compassion shows up. So we're well taken care of.
Yes, we are. We so are. And I love that place of it's what Brad was talking about, and then Beth echoed, which is recognizing that all the wisdom, love, and compassion that is the intelligence that animates us. And the closest and most intimate relationship we can have is with that. That it's here. It's not dependent on another person or the circumstances. And when we have an experience of that, being able to redirect the attention, because that's what patting the right hand with the left hand really is, the recognition, the awareness that the voices are coming in, and the presence to open that door to compassion, that door to happiness, to be with. Wow, how beautiful.
Yeah, very beautiful. Okay, let's move on to our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Emily from Seattle.
Hey, Emily.
Hi. Oh, I was very moved by that last caller. I'm very inspired to do more two-handed recordings. That was really nice
it's
to
the
hear.
Best.
Yeah, it just dropped in that is what I need, that mentor every day. And and I loved that assignment yesterday, and that was... It was sometimes there's an assignment that I read and it just makes me happy to read it.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And it was like it automatically opens that door, or it's just one of those things that makes me realize, oh, that door is open and I'm happy about it. And
yes. Oh, I love that, Emily, we often think that we have to come to presence when we are not at center, and that's one movement. But to know that we are in presence, and that there is something that's happening that is mirroring for us where we are in that place of joy, in that place of happiness. So you read an assignment and you instantly experience that resonance, that place that the assignment is pointing to. And then you go, wow, the door is open, or I'm here, and it's such a welcome. It's a nice to see you kind of the joy of intelligence knowing itself.
Yeah, and right? It was just like it was like a back door. It was like,
yes.
Oh yeah, it's open back there, and this is available to me. And
in this moment.
And and I recorded some about happiness in the moment, and it was really became clear to me. I got really snatched up by ego over the weekend, and in a really, really hard place. And the thing that got me out of it was, well, I had a coaching call, and then after that, I made a recording about reassurance, but the nature of that recording was that it was getting me to drop the conversation, and it was just getting me to have a break. That's what I was recording about, is just take a little break from that stuff that was going on in my head. And it was really just a matter of practicing that same process of getting, you know, no matter how much ego was getting at me, it was still the process of just for a moment of getting out of that, dropping that, and being right here. And it was, and that's where I ended up, in the present moment. And that's where it was at. That's where it was happening.
Yes.
So
Yes. Yes. Well, and what you're pointing us to, right, Emily, is the process of practice, the process of transformation. So it's not like life is not going to have places of pain or difficulty. Part of the suffering comes from expecting that we go through life and we don't have to make any effort and we won't have to face anything difficult, right? And so we spend all our lives trying to avoid it. And then we find ourselves in places where it is hard. And then ego piles on top of that, causing suffering around it. And so our practice is to notice that that's what's happening, to support ourselves, and life is always there. Coaching calls the recorders, and it drops in for you that whatever is going on, you can be with, but what you don't need to be with is the constant conversation about that. And so the intuition is, let's take a break from that conversation on a moment-by-moment basis. And that's what you practice. And the circumstances don't change. But in that awareness that you can support yourself through this process, you can support the person who's having a hard time, that's the doorway to that happiness that the quote was pointing at, not that you that the situation becomes any different or we have a feeling of buoyant, exhilarating excitement or anything. But there's such a level of compassion and peace that comes from just being with the person who's having a hard time in that encouraging and gentle way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was good. Good practice.
Good practice, and a good place to do that two-handed recording, because it sounds like there's a lot going on for her, and she needs to be heard and offered that compassion. And that doing that gets us to the place that Beth was talking about. It becomes more accessible, right?
Yeah, I like the idea of doing it every day too.
Yes,
just to
yes
make that yes automatic.
Yes,
I forget.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. So make the movement to compassion. We have the capacity to do that, and we can practice it over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Emily. Ms. Sweeney, I'm really appreciating this expanded notion of happiness.
Yes.
Brad started us out with the superficial notion that conditioning has of it and what a trap that is, and how it really can be so much more. It can be in that place of just being with someone who's having a hard time. That just feels really, really great.
Yeah. Yeah, the expanded definition of happiness, and that's the clue the quote was pointing out, right, that presence is happiness. Because it is not dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy,
you can't
that
be
really
dissatisfied here. Yeah. If you're here, you can't be, I don't like this, I don't want this, I don't feel good about this. And so you're not dissatisfied, which means that one has to be happy.
By definition, that's great, yeah.
Yes.
The other thing I really appreciate is that with the metaphor of the open door, how it really is just a matter of keeping the door open. It's not, there are no conditions that need to be met other than that. So I don't have to learn anything. I don't have to be a particular way. I don't, no conditions. It's just if the door is open, then that happiness is available.
Yes, the ability to open the door is something that we can practice. It's directing the attention.
Yep.
So opening the door equates to directing the attention. And we, as awareness practitioners, practice that all the time.
Indeed, we do.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right, well, let's hear from our next caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Chris. Hi, Ashwini. This is Kim from Vashon Island.
Hey, Kim.
And I'm so excited to get on. I listened to the call yesterday after it was live, and it was so incredible because I think it was the first caller whose dog had died on Saturday, and my dog died on Saturday, and everything she said was just for me. You know, it was just, it was so, the synchronicity of that was just so beautiful and perfect. And then I think there was another caller who called in yesterday who was talking about having some difficulties with their child, and that spoke to me directly too, and I just feel such gratitude for the Sangha because, I mean, we reach out to each other and it's so specific. Like, I don't understand that, but I'm so grateful for that. And it was just remarkable.
Yes, I love that, Kim. I mean, it seems to me that life is supports us personally. It's not just that we have the karma that's specific to us. We also have the support that is specific to us, that it's very universally personal, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And, you know, in the midst, I mean, I think the caller yesterday with her dog was talking about how she had driven through a rainbow, and, you know, that was so inspiring for me working with my, you know, being with my sadness around my loss. And and then the exercise with the doors, like, how, you know, ego wants to say, well, how could you possibly have a door of happiness today? But it came, I did. There were doors opening. There were happiness, and it surprised me every time. And, of course, ego wanted to shut it immediately, like, you can't be happy now. But I didn't. I watched. I just watched. And as I watched it, ego ran away. So...
Well, you know, Kim, it's amazing as we start to pay attention and become aware, right? We have the saying in practice that spiritual practice does not begin until the beating stops. When we develop that capacity to pay such close attention, like you're saying, what we are being is present. And in presence, all kinds of things that ego does not believe is possible becomes our experience, right? That you can, if something hard happens in your life, if you're experiencing loss, then that is the only thing you should be experiencing. But if we have that expanded awareness, we see that life contains all kinds of things. In this moment, there's a rainbow and grief.
Right.
And it's actually an expression of love, which is so much bigger than how conditioning interprets love to be, right? That if you lose something, you have to cry all the time or just be low energy or gloomy or whatever else. But to know that you can experience loss in the container of love, wow. That is how we experience life. Without the voices.
Yeah. It's a practice. I mean,
It is a practice. So, and those kinds of experiences, the experience of synchronicity, the experience of watching for the doors to open and not go with the voices, I mean, those experiences actually build our motivation, the energy to practice living there. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much, both of you.
Well,
Chris,
thank you,
Ashwini. Yeah, just fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim.
Thanks, Kim. Ashwini, we are about a minute from the end of our time. Shall we move on to the assignment?
Yes, please.
Okay, assignment for today. Science is organized knowledge. Wisdom is organized life. I bet for most of us, wisdom was a notion that came along later in life than a lot of others. For a while, we're busy just trying to sort out knowledge, not all of it, of a scientific nature. How can I make my life work? What should I do to get what I want? With time and experience, we began to question the knowledge we've been given and that we've accepted. Maybe there's more to life than being busy and stressed in the pursuit of getting stuff. Today, see how your growing wisdom organizes life. Record and listen.
I just love that. Intelligence has so much organization in it. It's one of my favorite things to recognize those patterns of organization that are just so exquisite in the intelligence that animates.
Yeah. And how conditioning would have us apply wisdom to something, to some content, but the idea that wisdom can organize is fascinating.
Yes, indeed. And I bet we'll hear some wonderful things from wonderful people tomorrow.
Indeed so.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ashwini.
Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.